One. Right? In 1 minute, the average person bleeds 22 times. They take 20 breaths. Their heart beats 72 times. In 1 minute, 150 babies are born. Hopefully not all by the same woman. 2.5 iPods are sold. 380 women get pregnant in 1 minute. What's that say about our fellows? 694,444 cans of Coke are sold in 1 minute. All that happens in 1 minute, but we don't realize all the stuff that is going on around us sometimes. Sometimes we get so locked into our own little world, we don't think about what's really happening in this 1 minute. In that 1 minute that's right here, right now, that's right in front of us, we don't think about that one. Right? The one. Thanks for coming. The 1 minute. Majority of an audience makes a determination as to whether or not they're going to listen to the speaker within the first minute, based on the way he looks, the way he sounds, and everything that he does. Within the first minute, how quick do we jump to conclusions about people we don't even know based on the way that they look, the way that they act, the way that they are, the way they smell? He smells like weed. Did you hear that? That guy smells like butt. Oh, look at that. Look at what he's wearing. Look at what they're doing. Did you see him during worship? He can't even clap on beat. I mean, we try to make all of these things into one moment. I mean, a lot can happen in 1 moment. A lot can happen in 1 minute. But what about 1 moment? Man, your whole life can change in a moment. When you get that text from that boy that says, "Sorry, see ya." That's your problem, right? When you get that call from the doctor that says, "Yes, your test came back positive. Yes, this came back serious. Yes, you have cancer. Oh, guess what? You're not going to graduate. Oh, guess what? This is what's going on." 1 moment that you choose to make a decision can change your entire life. What will you be remembered for within that 1 moment? How will people remember you? Will they remember you as somebody that was constantly cracking jokes and never serious? Will they remember you as a loud guy? Will they remember you as a crier? How will they remember you? I like Dane Cook's response to that. Anybody know Dane Cook? Personally, yeah, I met him. No, I'm kidding. Dane Cook says, "I want to be remembered." So one morning I woke up. I woke up, and what I did is I said, "I want to leave a legacy, and I'm going to do it today." So he goes out in search of the ability to leave a legacy. And he walks out and he goes to the park and he sees a little kid eating ice cream. And he walks up to that little kid. He gets right down in front of him and kneels right in front of him. And he shoves that ice cream cone right in the kid's face. And he looks at him and he goes, "You remember me! You remember me!" And he runs off. He said, "You know, that kid, when he is 75 years old and he's talking to his grandkids, he'll be like, 'I remember this one day that this young guy came running up to me and he shoved ice cream in my face. And he said, "You effing remember me! You remember me!'" And he'd be like, "I didn't say effing, but you remember me!" Right? What do you want to be remembered for? People do things in our lives that we think are going to impact us or kill us or totally just ruin and devastate our life, and the next week we forget that they even existed. Right? We've been there. Oh my gosh, this is so traumatic. Oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to breathe again. I'm not going to be able to live. And then the next week everything's fine. Why? Because we realize that it's not that big of a moment. But there are moments that we can take hold of that make a difference in our life, that make a difference in other people's lives. Why? We just have to take and make the opportunity and make it a little real. See, I like to do things a little bit different. Because I grew up in church. And I heard everybody speak all the time. And all they did, honestly, Brittany, felt like all they were doing was just talking at me. You know? Where they just constantly were just rambling and words were spewing out of their mouth, but it never really felt like they were saying anything. You know what I mean?
we just felt like, oh gosh, it's another guy just going to get up and talk for God, however long it takes for somebody pulls his plug or walks him off the with a big gong, whatever. You know, you're just waiting for somebody to just cart the guy off, or hopefully he'll die, so that you can just get out of the service and be able to eat within a certain amount of time. So I like to look at Scripture a little differently. So you have to bear with me a little bit, because I grew up in church, so I'm doing it a little different, right? All right. So, Papus. Class, before I hand out your papers, the one thing I want to do is I'm going to... A lot of things I was thinking about as I was reading your papers on who was the most influential individual in your life. And I have to say, I was a little disturbed at what I had to read. You know, I mean, when you read that... I mean, who's the greatest influence in your life? And the one person? And you're going to tell me it's your dog? Mark, I mean, come on. I mean, I know that it's great when you see him come home and his tail's wagging and he's always forgiving, but he also licks his own butt with the same tongue that he's licking you with. I mean, you have to realize that he's not a person. And so the task, the assignment was to take and tell me about a person, not about your dog. I was a little bit disturbed too, but when I read, you know, that some of you were most influenced by a lady named Gaga. A little disturbing. I mean, Spencer, you know, I mean, if that's who you're going to model your life after, you know, I mean, let your freak flag fly. That's fine. But, I mean, the whole thing was just a little disturbing when you're reading about that. I mean, it's just not quite right. Unless that's what you want to do, it's a little bizarre. I think the one that kind of tripped me the most was when I'm reading about who's influenced your life the most, and your response is Ronald McDonald. I mean, Andrew, come on. I know he invented the Happy Meal. But you have to realize that it may be fun food, but no, it's not healthy. I don't agree. It's not healthy. As I was reading your papers, it made me think about, in my own life, someone that had influenced me. Obviously, my logical choice was my mum. Right? She's a pretty lady. Right? She was the one who raised me. She was always telling me these epic stories. Most of them about my dad. He was a soldier. He went off to war to fight about 2 months after she found out she was pregnant with me. He didn't come back. He didn't make it back. But she told me all these stories about him, and, you know, he was like a secret agent type guy, you know what I mean? So my mom seemed like a logical choice because she was always there. She never left me. So she was always there to tell me wonderful things. She told me how handsome I was. And I mean, she just made me feel better about myself. And she was always there. But so it seemed like, yeah, it's easy to answer that. You know, but I'm much older than you guys. So for me, I have a lot more people to think about who's influenced me the most. Some of you, you know, you haven't been around the block but a few times. I've been circling and still about to go down the drain, you know. So it's just one of those things where, who? Who? It got stuck in my brain, you know, this one situation, this one time. Like a popcorn hole stuck in my tooth, you know. I couldn't get away from it. I kept thinking about my mom, she, you know, the most influential. And then I just remembered this one day when I was about 10 years old. We went to Roland's Rugs. We were going to buy a new cover for the floor, new rug. And we go to buy this rug, and because my mom, I spilt paint by accident, and she was, you know, we had to get a new cover. And we hear this man, and he's talking, the shopkeeper, he's telling everybody else about this guy. He sounded like a superhero, right? I mean, the things that he's doing, you know, it was pretty crazy. And I was like, I looked at my mom, I'm 10 years old, I mean, superhero alive in person. I want to see this, I want to meet this, you know, I want to meet this guy that's doing these amazing things. So, come on, help me out. I mean, I looked at my mom, and before I could even utter the words, she's like, she's asking the shopkeeper where this guy's at. It's only about 2 blocks away, so we started, you know. We started to walk, and, you know, on our journey, it got a little bit quicker. Pace got a little bit faster. Songs got a little bit, you know, I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk, da, 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 You know, by the time it's going on, I mean, we're running, we're sprinting. And my mom, she always beat me because she cheated. She tripped me. I swear to God, she tripped me every time we ran. But, we get to the place where they're at. There's a ton of people there. You know, thought they were giving away free Happy Meals or something. And, you know, we start kind of trying to push our way through the crowd a little bit, working our way through. And this heavy broad, you know, she bumps me with a big flab arm and she knocks me to the ground. And so, you know, now I'm crawling across the ground, crawling through people's legs. And I find myself at the very front where I can see the one man that everybody's there to see, the superhero. And what's he doing? And to my amazement, he was sitting in a chair. He's just sitting there. I mean, he looked strong. He looked rough. He was rugged. For some reason, I don't know, it was like a magnetic pull or something. I wanted to talk to him. I got up and I started to walk to him. And when I did, this big ox-like man, he stepped in front of me. He said, "Where do you think you're going?" And I said, "To talk to him." He said, "No, he's too busy for the likes of you, lad. Why don't you get out of here? Go on, go on." I turned and I started to walk away, and as I did, the guy sitting in the chair, you know, I'd have swore some theme music played or something. He stands up and he goes, "Hey, what do you think you're doing? Where are you going? What are you doing? Let that little guy come here. Come on, come over here. That's the whole reason I'm here. Let me talk to this little one." So I kind of gave that big guy the "what's up?" Like, "Who wants to talk to me? You go find a big field to eat in, you big oaf." And I walk over to him and I look at him and I say, "Hi." And he says, "What's your name?" And I said, exactly like my mom told me. I said, "My name's Lucas. I'm named after my dad." I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. And he reached down and he started to chuckle and he took my hand, and his hand was rough and calloused. And, I mean, like holding a rock. And he says, "I'm Jesus." And I said, "Nice to meet you." And he picks me up. It's kind of odd. He set me on his knee and we sat there and we talked. And we started the thumb wrestle. You know? 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare thumb war. Right? I beat him 3 times. Then finally somebody cut one, so we got out of there. I mean, it was a stinker. So we started to move on, right? We went down, you know, by the water. And he taught me how to skip a rock across the water. Mine skipped. I don't know how, but his kind of walked across the water. It was just kind of a weird situation. All this time, you know, things are going on, and you know, he told me this joke, right? He said, he goes, "A priest, a fisherman, and a rabbi are going fishing. Said, which one do you think's going to go to heaven?" I said, "I don't know." He goes, "None of them. They're going fishing." Yeah, he really wasn't that funny. But boy, it made him laugh. I mean, he laughed so hard he nearly fell out of the boat, you know, when we decided to go fishing. Hey. That one day, we spent the whole day together. I mean, all those people wanted to meet him, and he was hanging out with me. I mean, he treated me like I was his own son. He treated me like none of those other people even really mattered. The first time in my entire life, I kind of felt like I had a dad. That day changed my life. It changed me completely. That's the reason why I became a teacher. The reason why I'm here right now. That one moment with him. So that's what it made me think about as I read your papers. As ridiculous as some of them were very inspirational. Anyway, I want you to think about that. We're going to hand back your papers here in just a little bit. Realize that I hope you were paying attention. There probably will be a quiz over this. And I hope that you will know the answers. See, so as I look within Scripture, this story is told in Mark. And Jesus lets this little kid come hang out with him in the middle of this whole crowd. And I don't know all the details of what happened. I don't know everything that happened, but all I do know is that Jesus cared to take the time for one moment for one person's life. And I know what happened with me in the moment that I encountered Jesus. So I cannot imagine how incredible that one moment would have been for that kid. I mean, to hear all the stories about who Jesus is, and we've heard them all, right? And to have that one moment and actually be able to hang out with Him, I mean, for some of us, that'd be like hanging out with LeBron James. Like he invented the free throw or something, you know? I mean, this guy is telling it and hanging out and then teaching you the whole day. I mean, all the stuff that we just begin to overlook and we take for granted, and it's just like, wow. I think God basically says that He wants us to do the same thing for the people around us. The greatest thing that we can do is love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. Now that does not mean, ladies, that doesn't mean that when the fella says that he's your friend that you lay down, give him a whole lot of love. And that's not what he's talking about. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life. It's talking about you doing something that's worthwhile. You making an investment. You taking away all of what really seems to matter to you, your reputation. That people begin to think, when you say, I lay every bit of that down and you matter more to me in this moment than anything that I could possibly have. Because that's what we were created for. Here's the hard part, right? When you're by yourself in those situations, one person is a fight. Right? You've got to have your gloves. I mean, you've got to be ready for it, right? Because it feels like everything that you're doing to try to impact one person's life, it just feels like it's hard to do. It feels like that I'm backed into a corner. People are going to look at me because I say I'm a Christian and they're going to be like, oh, you. And I've got to prove myself. I've got to do all these other things. It's a fight. But here's the one thing. I love this quote. It says, there is not enough darkness in all the world to put out the light of even one small candle. Doesn't matter how dark it is, one candle is going to light things up. Here's the beautiful thing though. When you've got friends that share the same faith, the same mentality, the same drive, the same devotion, the same intensity that you do, three becomes a battle. Scripture says iron sharpens iron, and if one man falls, another can help him up. Three becomes a battle. Here's another quote that's just amazing. No candle loses any of its light when it lights another one. You ever think about that? Take two candles, one of them lights the other one. It didn't get any dimmer. That one's still just as bright. And now you've got two that are burning just as bright. Actually, brighter. Here's the reality though. If one is a fight and three is a battle, what's 10? 10's a revolution. It is a war. I got friends that'll attest to that. Three of them got jumped by 20 guys at a Circle K. Oh, we can get into stories, but that's a different time. 10 is a revolution. Why? Because Jesus had 10 disciples, 10 men who hated nothing but sin and loved nothing but God, and they changed the world. Why? They took something that was valuable and they began to share it with other people and actually took time to get to know people. Actually took time to care. Actually took a moment to make it worthwhile instead of just going, hey, what's up? And moving on and not even waiting for the person's answer. We do it all the time, right? How you doing? Just keep moving. We never even stop long enough to hear what the response is. Try this next time. Somebody asks you how you're doing. If they're just moving quick, just go, man, things suck so bad. I'm going to slip my wrist. I'll see you later. See if anybody even... I've done it. Not slip my wrist, but I've said that. And you know what people... Oh, that's awesome, man. It's great. But they listen to your tone. They don't listen to what you're saying. We don't stop and take time and actually care about people. What would it look like if we actually took time to stop and listen and find out what somebody was really going on in their, what was really going on in somebody's life? If we took the time to really care. See, I want you to think about it. Who is the person that's made the greatest influence in your life? Think about it, really. I mean, think about it. Because for me, I want you to watch something that is a reflection of the person that's made the most influence in my life. Check this out. Life, we have to start with ourselves. It has to start with you first. Listen, we talk about the one, we talk about finding the one, right? The one person that's going to make us happy in life. I can't wait to find the one so I can get my groove on. You know, I can't wait to find that one. But if you will stop and realize that He is your one, everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. You might be memorable to somebody, but you will never make the difference that He will make for all eternity. You don't have that much to offer somebody, but He sure does. Why? Because He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but by Me. I am that way. The one. And when we honestly get there with our relationship with God, it will happen where people will take notice. Disciples were called unschooled, ordinary individuals, but others took notice because they had been with Jesus. Can that be said about you? I hope that that's the case. That's my prayer. Not just for you, but for myself. Man, I don't want to be one of those guys that's just constantly ripping Scripture at people and constantly pointing a religious finger and being that guy that just like, you make me want to puke. Don't talk anymore about it. But man, if we can finally get to the point where it just oozes out of us, it changes the way that our lives are. It changes the way that things begin to be perceived. So let's pray. Hey, God, thank You. God, thank You for what You've done. Thank You for what You've done for us. Sometimes we don't always reflect on it, God. We don't take hold of it. It hasn't sunk in the way that it needs to sometimes of everything that You've done and the bridges that You've created and the opportunities that You've presented, God. That Your love is so amazing. It's so extravagant, God. And You care about us so much beyond anything, beyond heaven, beyond earth, beyond anything, God. You love and care for us more than that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around right now. If you say, you know what, Jason, I've never started a relationship with Jesus, and you say, if that's what it takes to begin to make a difference in this world, I want it to make a difference in me first. I want to start my relationship with Jesus tonight. If that's you, you've never asked Jesus to lead your life. You've never asked Him to forgive you. You've never asked Him to save your life and make it more than it is. If you've never done that, tonight here is your one moment. We talk about all these things that can happen in 1 minute. Here's what can happen in this one moment. God can change the direction of your eternity forever. All you have to do, if that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Meet me eye to eye. It's not about me. It's not about anything else except for Him. And Him, yeah, thank you. Thanks. A God of second chances, and I know that I have definitely used up more than a couple of chances with Him. Here's the beautiful thing. Maybe you have a relationship with Him, but it's just become distant. It's become secondary. It's not become the primary aim and focus. You say, God, I want that to be the difference in me. I want my relationship with You to be real and genuine so that I can begin to be ready for that one moment, that one person that You've presented in my life. If you're here and you say, you know what, I need to give my heart back to Jesus. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I see your hands around the room. Thanks. Let's all say this prayer together. Everybody just raise their hand. And even if you didn't raise your hand, you can still say this prayer, but just mean it. Otherwise, they're just words. Everybody say it with me because we're all in it together. Say, Jesus, I need You. I can't do this on my own. Come into my life and forgive me. Change me and make me new. Lead me so I know the direction to go. Let there be more of You and less of me. God, speak through me. Let Your Spirit fill me, so that I'll be ready when You call me. And it's in Your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for letting me come hang out with you. I realize it's kind of different. I hope that... No, you're... So, I always enjoy getting to hang out with you guys. So, I know that you guys are going to do some pretty freaking insane things tonight, because I know these guys, they are not normal. And so, they have some pretty fun things planned for you. But I would encourage you, do not be the first person to fall asleep. Do not be the first person to fall asleep. Because look at the two guys that have beards. No, the two bigger guys that have beards. One that's wearing pants that are a little too tight. We won't say anything about that. They're a little off. I would be careful falling asleep, and I would sleep in shifts if I were you. So, guys, thanks. Enjoyed hanging out with you.